this month's episode of the Portland Afoot Podcast. I'm Lillian, your producer.
And I'm Michael, your editor.
This month, we're talking about the employers who, if you worked for them, would have bought your bus fare, the candidates who, if you vote for them, may or may not make your commute better, and a cat that rode his local bus every day.
And oh, and of course, we'll have our cute TriMet tweets and this month's Only on the Bus story.
Enjoy listening. You're going to talk to us about the awesomeness of low-car companies, right?
That's right. The biggest project we do each year probably is this ranking of employers with the best commute benefits. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and we did our first one that spans the entire metro area. So it included employers from Beaverton and Vancouver and so on, as well as Portland. Anyway, we looked at who's giving people free transit passes, who's giving them great bike parking spots, who's giving them shared vehicles at work, who's charging for parking so that they aren't, you know, subsidizing people who are driving, that sort of thing. Who's telecommuting, who's does the best in the bike commute challenge to sort of measure their bike culture in there.
I think some workplaces are very forceful with trying to make sure that they get bike commute challenge results.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
When I actually worked at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, which runs the bike commute challenge, though it can't technically participate, but still has its own little competition with the Community Cycling Center, we forced someone who lived three blocks away to bike to work because walking doesn't count for the bike commute challenge.
Yeah, that's not ideal, I guess. So the Bike Commute Challenge is this competition between businesses that the Bicycle Transportation Alliance operates in the area each year. It's every September. Anyway, so we looked at all this stuff. We crunched the numbers. We put out a survey to about 600 local companies. The best ones responded, and the number one, there was a three-way tie for first place that had all these guys have free transit passes. They charge for parking. And they did a combination of other stuff, too. Stoll Reeves is a downtown law firm. Metro, the regional employer, understandably understands what's going on. And even more understandably, the Lloyd Transportation Management Association, whose entire job is to have good commuting benefits, has good commuting benefits.
They're the Transportation Management Association you pay as a business to figure out how to get more of your employees to get to work by transit.
And they're leading by example. So. Exactly.
Yeah. So it would be a little shaming if they didn't rank well.
Yeah, so you can check this out, this ranking. You can learn all about the employers you would want to work for and so on at pdx.be/lowcarjobs. I'll spare you further details, but I did want to talk about this interesting thing that happened yesterday. We were talking about the sort of benefits of biking at the Active Transportation Summit, which is an annual thing down in Salem I was at yesterday. And there's this developer, John Russell, who said that employers are scrambling to recruit, like, smart, productive, creative, healthy 30-somethings. Everybody wants to employ these same people, and so they're competing for them. And the way to recruit them these days in Portland is to get bike commuters and not car commuters, because car commuters are not likely to be these people that everybody wants to recruit, apparently, which I thought was an interesting sort of phenomenon. I had never really thought about it in quite that way. I just thought it was a thing that you offered your employees to make them happy in general. I didn't think about the fact that it's also really a sort of selection tool.
Looking at the hiring pages recently for a lot of high-tech firms, especially in Silicon Valley, I'm seeing that more and more of them are very, very prominently listing among the benefits of working for them. Like, oh, we have bike share in our office, or like, we'll give you an emergency ride home if you commute to work, you know, by bike or walking or transit. And it's like, it's often like they're listed on the page before they list the fact that they like feed you free lunch at work, or, you know, like all of these very posh startup sort of benefits that they have once they get venture capital money. It's really interesting that it's ranked incredibly highly.
Right.
And of course, you know, like Google runs their own bus system.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, in the case of Google, like, part of it is so they can have Wi-Fi so people can start working before they show up. And part of the reason they offer free lunch is so people never have to leave, so they can work through lunch.
Right.
So, and part of the reason you want, you know, active commuter people is that they are then more productive once they show up because they're, you know, they had their physical activity for the day. But on the other hand, it's also sort of like, a way to screen out people who aren't that healthy, which is kind of weird. There are a lot of driving a car is not good for your health every day, and compared to getting around in by foot or bike, and I hadn't thought about sort of the sinister side of this. Do you have any thoughts?
The sinister side of this, meaning that you want to have lower healthcare costs.
Well, when you put it that way, Lily, you make me sound like a socialist. So that's enough. All right. It's just like, ultimately, I guess it's also a diminishing return, right? Because
it's, you know what? Currently, your commuting status is not a protected class when it comes to employment discrimination. So, hell, if we can have people discriminate based on transit mode at the moment, like,
you're all for it.
There's been years and years where I haven't been able to apply for jobs because I don't get to work by car. So if we're starting to see a switch, I'm more than happy for that.
That's a pretty good case. Yeah.
It's like affirmative action for bike commuters, man.
Right. Well, it's not quite, because it's the other way around. They're just trying to get more of them to apply. But it's the implicit thing is that, yeah, they want more of them to apply. You're right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that is pretty cool. Another thing that we should be worried about, that we should certainly be worried about, is the fact that the state has stopped subsidizing these transit passes. I was talking to our first place winner, Stoll Reeves, and even they were talking about how they wanted to reduce the number of people using transit passes because it's so expensive now, because the state has effectively raised the cost of these guys for buying their passes by 50%.
So, damn.
Yeah, so, like, thinking about it in Portland, like, these companies, like Stoll Reeves and Intel and Nike and the folks that give these free transit passes to Multnomah County, all these companies have been subsidized in part by the state subsidy that went away, and that's, you know, a lot of people in the Portland area get these passes and then are sort of, like, can be casual riders of transit and sort of are integrated into the system and are, I think, a really big part of sort of the base of support for public transit in the area. So I'm pretty worried about the long-term effects if these guys start to scale back their transit benefits because they're so much more expensive all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I think it's even more worrisome considering that the cost for using transit is rising and rising for individual users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Downer note, let's move along, I guess. I want to talk about the election. Lily, can you vote? You're in Germany still. What's the situation with that?
I'm going to be voting. I'm doing an absentee ballot.
Have you decided all your votes yet?
No.
So there's a May 15th election. I think a lot of people still have some races they're trying to decide about. There's been this new group called Bike Walk Vote that's been trying to sort of organize and
they're
mobilize.
Not new.
Well, no, you're right. Sorry, a rebooted group. A rebooted group called Bike Walk Vote that has had its most successful year to date. Portland Foot's a nonprofit, so we won't be endorsing anybody, but we do have a low car voter guide on our website that is a huge help, I hope, in doing this. So you can go get to that at pdx.be/helpmevote. That was a project of our friend Aaron Brown, who spent a long time putting this all together. It is awesome, and it has his interviews on a bunch of transit issues with all these politicians on sort of where they stand on various things.
Aaron spent a good portion of the Portland Afoot anniversary party happy hour trying to convince me to run for a metro seat. So the man clearly knows what he's talking about when it comes to politics. So
I love
he literally cornered me with a beer in his hand and was like, "We need you to run for metro. Where do you live? Do you live in the district?"
That's fantastic. What did you say? I think you were perhaps not immune to the charms of this suggestion.
I'm not running for metro seat.
Lillian Karabayak is not running for metro, folks.
But I'll get back to you later. I might have to resign from the podcast if I run for political office. Mm, so.
Okay. Well, I'm against it then. The best things that I got out of this, the most interesting things, I was fascinated by Bob Stacey. He's running for Metro. His utility-based road funding model, he wants to break it into three components. He thinks that this is how we should pay for roads because the gas tax is going away. We should have, everybody has to pay a user fee, no matter where they live, because everybody uses the road somehow. And everybody who drives a car ought to pay a mileage fee for the damage they do, sort of a usage fee based on wear and tear. Mm-hmm. And everybody who drives a car in congested areas should pay a fee based on when they're, you know, if they're using a highway during congested hours, right? And then they can, that gives them an incentive to use it during non-congested hours and use the system efficiently. And the second thing gives them an incentive not to use cars if they don't have to. And the first thing, you know, helps everybody feel like they're paying their fair share.
That's interesting. The in terms of the usage fee, there's been a couple test models of that, test studies of it in Oregon, where they tried to do a mileage-based road pricing system. And the infrastructure is pretty significant. The way that they implemented it was a sort of an at-the-pump situation, where you essentially paid at the pump based on how many miles you traveled since last time.
So they, like, checked your odometer electronically somehow?
It was a little different than that, but I'm not 100% sure what the technology was. It was a professor at Portland State University who was doing this in combination with an ODOT grant, I believe, looking at this. And I think it was 2008 that they last did this study. But it's really interesting. The main issue is that is privacy concerns, people having concerns over, well, why does the government need to know how many miles I drive? And and also the technology in terms of implementing it. You know, if we're really going to implement a fee based on congestion areas, then we know when you're driving, at what certain times, where, and that, in terms of anonymity, it can be a little interesting. But, and then the other issue is just that the technology is quite pricey. But we've been using a usage-based system to pay, for truck drivers to pay road fees everywhere in the United States for, like, 30 years.
Oh, I never thought about that.
But there's a heck of a lot less people driving trucks out there than there are people driving
right.
motor vehicles and companies. And so it's a lot easier. There's a lot less paperwork to keep track of.
Right.
This is a massive scale size paperwork thing.
One interesting benefit of having these things in all these devices in all our cars is that they could also, if we wanted, be car sharing devices, because it's sort of the same. You could put that in that installation two in one, and everybody could then, you know, you'd be measuring the miles, so it'd be easy to pay for the car sharing based on the miles driven in that way, and it would make it easy to do these peer to peer car sharing things. If every car had them, it would be even awesomer.
Maybe. You know? I think you might be conflating your technologies a little too much.
I'm getting this straight from Mr. Car Sharing, Alan Derning of the Sightline Institute. So
he's, I'm sure, much more knowledgeable than I am.
Yes, so. I am sure. Yeah. But you're right. I have no idea how it would actually work. The other thing...
So other than Bob Stacey,
yeah,
what other...
We should probably talk about things other than Bob Stacey, though he is a fascinating man that I do not officially endorse. And
he's a Reed College alum, too.
No, really?
Yeah.
I almost swore there. I was so surprised. That's interesting, too. but it's a family show. Mary Nolan and Stacey also said they were interested in possibly having bus rapid transit to Vancouver as part of a deal on the big new Columbia River Crossing Bridge. They were saying that if what it takes to get a deal with Clark County that doesn't require a ton of expense is to run bus rapid transit there, well then why not? We could maybe make that work. And I thought that was interesting.
That would be awesome.
You would think that they would be totally light rail, you know? They were open to the fact that, yeah, BRT is actually that much cheaper, and if that's part of the compromise, then maybe it's worthwhile. Thought that was interesting. Local control of TriMet, another thing that that Aaron pointed out, was that he was surprised how many people thought it would be a good idea to reform TriMet so that either Metro or some other government, some local government would have more direct oversight of TriMet. Right now, the governor appoints the board, and
None of the board rides TriMet or knows anything about transit or the people who use it.
That's a slight exaggeration.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily been an effective way of getting a board that represents TriMet users.
I think that's right. I mean, it's clear that it does not represent TriMet users. No. And So having the governor appoint and the legislature confirm means that the state has all this thing. And Nolan actually made the interesting point in response that that gives the state skin in the game, and then they're more likely to fund TriMet because they feel like they've got control over where it's going, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
But the form of their funding is these massive capital projects like the new bridge. It's not in the operation, so it's not entirely clear that that's what Portlanders would be choosing for themselves anyway.
I have nothing to say.
All right, let's move along. So we've got a ridiculous number of sponsors this month. It was sort of a our sponsors were overwhelmingly enthusiastic about the podcast, and we are enthusiastic about
our
sponsors.
See, look how many fans we have, Michael.
Yeah, we've got a lot of fans.
So many people listen to the podcast.
It's true. This is what I am telling you. Car2Go.
Portland's new point-to-point car sharing service.
Get Around.
The Portland metro area's new peer-to-peer car sharing service.
And the difference there, of course, is that the point-to-point is like a one-way, pick it up, drop it off anytime you want. And the peer-to-peer is get it from your neighbor's Sarah.
Portland's leading green architecture and design firm, and also a regular high-ranking company in the Bike Commute Challenge.
SERA, and also one of the best employers for low-car commuters. OHSU, another one of our top-ranking ones.
It's Portland's most low-car-friendly medical employer.
Portland Pedal Power.
A great bike delivery and advertising service in Portland.
And PECI.
A fast-growing energy and efficiency consulting firm.
Finally, Eberhardt Press.
Portland's most affordable, lovable, and environmentally conscious zine publisher.
That concludes our sponsor section. Let's move on to this topic we've been dying to talk about.
Animals on transit.
That's right. There are a lot of animal stories on transit, and this is a total heartwarmer. Well, actually, there's a sad part. You want to do the one with the sad part?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Casper the commuting cat, which is a cat in the UK, in the Plymouth, UK, that would ride the same bus every day. He came to international attention last year when a nonfiction children's book was published about him. Casper the commuting cat had been commuting for 4 years, riding the number 3 bus in Plymouth. And he would curl up on a seat or purr around fellow passengers' legs all the way to the final stop, and then he would stay on and make the return journey. Drivers got used to letting him off at the correct stop every day. And apparently his owner never knew what he was doing until a bus driver let her into the secret of Casper's traveling. So she had no idea her cat was riding the bus every day.
Whoa. That's fantastic. But so do we know how the cat figured out how to ride the bus?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Still.
That's awesome.
He had postings on the website of the local newspaper, like, you know, a little book about him. The sad part about this, though, is that he was hit and killed by a car. He was so well-loved that they did a posting for him at his normal bus stop, and he got an obituary in the local paper.
That's really sad.
It's really sad, but it's also very cute.
Yeah, all right.
Casper the commuting cat.
There are all these animals that ride transit. I remember one of my favorite New York Times stories back when I first started reading the New York Times in 2002. It was one about pigeons that commute on the A train, that they would sort of line up waiting for the train. They would get on, and then they would get off at the next stop. Then the train ride.
I wonder if these are like hobo pigeons that are like spanging on the side.
I think every pigeon is a hobo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably true.
The train riding pigeons of Far Rockaway. You should read this story. It's a great little brightly written story. You can read it at pdx.be/smartbird. And no story discussion of animals on TriMet or other transit agencies would be complete without the famous light rail coyote incident, which gave birth to Slater Kinney's most loving song about Portland and how it's the place where the nature meets the city and the crazies meet the sanes, and it's a place of mixing.
So wait, there was a coyote on TriMet? What is
you
this?
Haven't heard this story?
No.
This was just after the Red Line opened, and there was still a lot of wilderness out there. So it's really sort of a sign of TriMet's nature of, you know, building these transit lines to nowhere with the intention of developing dense greenfields, right? But this coyote just got
you
on.
You just had to make it wonky. You couldn't just talk about the coyote, man.
Maybe. The coyote got on TriMet and it was rode for several stops and was escorted off. There's a photo of it that has passed around the internet. And then Carrie Brownstein loved it so much that she wrote a song all about how this was like a metaphor for Portland.
Yeah. And then she went and made a television series about it.
Yeah, she really loves Portland. She's fascinated by our city.
Moving along from animals on TriMet. If anybody has any animals on TriMet or transit stories and they want to share them, I would love to hear them.
Yeah, me too. And we'll share them here. Transit tip of the month. You ready?
Yeah.
This is not so much a transit tip as a car sharing tip, but it is useful, I think. Here's the way to choose between our two car sharing services. By the way, did you know that we are the only city in the country that has more car sharing options than major league sports teams?
No.
That's not surprising.
Is this what you were doing at 4 a.m. one night, figuring that out?
I have no comment on that, the time that I figured these things out. But the way to choose between Zipcar and Car2Go, right, two of our great local car sharing services, because they charge differently, right? Car2Go charges by the minute, Zipcar charges by the hour.
Ah, okay.
And so the way to figure out which to do, you don't have to do all the math and, like, multiply the number of everything and, like, figure it all out. What you should do is you should figure out how much of your trip you're going to be behind the wheel and how much you're going to be parked, right? So any trip includes both of those things. If you're going to be behind the wheel for more than half of your trip, you should take a Zipcar. And if you're going to be behind the wheel for less than half of your trip, you should take the Car2Go. Other things being equal.
Hmm.
And that assumes that you can get the Car2Go on the way back, which isn't always true, but is often true. You can always hold on to the Car2Go. Anyway, but that's the basic.
I also imagine Car2Go for me, a lot of the time, I don't need to take it both ways. I only need to take it one way.
That's the other great thing about Car2Go. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, if I'm going to IKEA or something, I don't need a car on the way out there, but I might want it on the way home.
Yeah, I don't think you could actually take Car2Go to IKEA because it's not in the service area, but but you could take Car2Go to the Max, which would then take you to IKEA on the red line that was once boarded by a coyote.
Okay. I have some cute TriMet tweets for us, too.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
SCA Ackler says, nothing like running for a bus only to have the driver stop and get off the bus for several minutes at the next stop. Hmm. Tass 50 says, high floor TriMet buses sound like they're going to rattle to bits. This one sounds like it's going to lose a wheel. Oh, I hate those buses. Dr. Jeff, who we should note is a psychologist, tweets, yeah, kid, that's a thong your mom's wearing. See you in my office in 10 years. Melly Mew says, handmade dress with the print upside down, chip black nail polish, the words pay tuition in ballpoint on her left hand. TriMet.
Wow.
According to Annie, just posted quite simply, a woman on the tram has an accordion ringtone. Jealousy.
That's great.
All right. Do you have an Only on the Bus story for us,
Michael? I do. This is our story we do each month in the print publication of a funny story from the bus. This one actually happens on the Max, but I've decided I'm just going to call them all Only on the Bus stories. People get the idea. Anyway, this one's from Lisa. She's actually the editor of the Scanner newspaper, and she is totally hilarious. Here's what she says. We have a family gorilla suit. My husband, Leapin' Louis Lichtenstein, is the most explosive Jewish cowboy ever to come out of Northeast Portland. He's a vaudevillian for Wanderlust Circus. He got the suit for my son for his 18th birthday, and as soon as my son opened it, he put it on. That's the thing about a gorilla suit. You can put it on for any occasion. You could put anything over it. Business suit, tin hat, tutu, tie, yellow trench coat. And I have to say that this is a very special gorilla suit. It's very hard to find a gorilla suit with a good facial expression. This gorilla suit has a quizzical, humorous look. A stand-up comedian face. He was sort of winking and had this ironic smile and one eyebrow up as if he was going, really? This gorilla suit looked like it needed a martini. Everyone in this family has taken this gorilla suit to events. My son was a zoo teen, a primate intern. The orangutan outdoor exhibit had opened, and they were having these celebrations, so he asked if he could bring the gorilla suit. He was riding the Max to the zoo. I'm sure he put it on the floor by his feet, out of sight, you know? He was shaken up when he told me he'd lost the suit. I didn't really care. But my husband really wanted to find it. He told our friend Creature. Creature is a very tall, serious person with a deeply thoughtful voice. And Creature was like, oh, man. But for the person who found it, what a ground score. That's what he said. What a ground score. I bet that person talks about that for the rest of their life. My husband kept going back for months to the TriMet Lost and Found. They would see him coming and be like, no gorilla suit, sir. We often wonder who's got that suit. Because whoever found that suit put it on. It's like that movie The Mask. It's part of that person's probably part of our tribe, whoever it is, even if they don't know it. It's a great story.
I don't think we can follow that. I think that's our show.
That's our show.
You can subscribe to the show at pdx.be/podcast. And please send us any comments you have at podcast@portlandafoot.org.
You can support Portland Afoot by subscribing to our 10-minute monthly news magazine about low-car life in Portland at pdx.be/subscribe.
You can follow me on Twitter at Anomalily.
And you can almost certainly figure out where to find Portland Afoot on Twitter. I'm Michael Anderson, your editor.
And I'm Lillian Kerbake, your producer. Thanks for listening. And remember to exit through the back.
Pass on the left.
And don't forget to thank your bus driver.
Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella.